how do you succeed as a poet? Well, based on the evidence, it would help to be a Muslim born 800 years ago. That would be Jalal ud-Din Rumi, the Sufi mystic whose family fled their home because of the Mongol invasions and settled in what we know as Turkey. He became a scholar of Sharia law and today is the best-selling poet in America. Amazon lists well over 100 books of Rumi's works in English translation. Madonna is a fan.
In my hallucination, I saw my beloved's flower garden. In my vertigo, in my dizziness, in my drunken haze, whirling and dancing like a spinning wheel.
By far, the leading English language interpreter of Rumi is American poet Coleman Barks. He's been working on Rumi for over 3 decades now. His series of Rumi books include The Essential Rumi, which has sold several hundred thousand copies. Coleman has a new book out, Rumi, The Big Red Book, the great masterpiece of celebrating mystical love and friendship. And Coleman Barks joins us from the studios of WUGA in Athens, Georgia. Coleman, start us off with a Rumi favorite.
Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and right doing, there's a field. I'll meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. Ideas, language, even the phrase each other doesn't make any sense.
You're not reading that, are you?
No, I just happen to know that one by heart.
Oh, I bet that and many others. Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there's a field. What does that mean to you?
Out beyond the mind, out beyond judgment, in a place of pure acceptance and love, we can meet there.
What does love mean to Rumi?
Well, it's a mystery. It's the whole mystery, isn't it? It's a kind of longing, and it's a kind of ecstatic being, a sense of just laying down in the grass in the field. And it's also an ache, something that's missing, or some meeting with some presence that has not happened yet.
It's not necessarily romantic love, or although there's no one more romantic.
It's all of these things. I think it's all versions of all motion is from the mover. Every kind of love is implied. But it's also a mystery, some kind of a deep friendship that maybe we don't know about yet, that we're still being led into.
And in this particular collection, your new one, The Big Red Book, it is about a particular friendship with a man named Shams, a character in and of himself. He wanders into Rumi's life, depending on the story, in different ways, but literally just blows him away. Tell us about this friendship.
It's one of those mysteries that we don't, it's some kind of incandescent, enlivening relationship. It's like a personality that somehow broadens to become a holiday. I have a good friend, Jim Kilgo, who said that he understood Rumi because he talked about the friend and he understood his relationship with Christ as a being like that.
It sort of has an apostle feeling,
the two
of them. Give us a few lines that illustrate that.
How can this great love be inside me? Look at your eyes. They're small, but they see enormous things. The big question is, how can this great love be inside me? You know, how does that exist? And it exists in their friendship. He said when he met Shams, he says, what I had thought of before as God, I met today in a human being.
Rumi did lead a spiritual institution, something like a monastery, but also a school of whirling dervishes, you know, these incredible people who meditate and worship while twirling. And if you've ever seen them, it's astonishing. They never fall off the edge of the stage, you know. But when you read about both Rumi and Shams Tabriz, the ecstatic nature of their everyday looking at the world around them,
mm-hmm.
they also seem a little, you know, crazy.
Ah, that's right. No, that's the Sufi thing, that love madness that is so almost frightening to some people. Yeah, there's something loose in there. People have felt it in Whitman, too, and other poets, William Blake. There's a kind of wild love let loose in there. They call it drunkenness. Talking about those dances, the whirl, they are just gone. But they are also centered. They never fall. So it's some balance between discipline and surrender that he's showing us there.
Well, he also, as we said, he was Muslim, although the Sufi branch. But his poems talk about drinking wine and getting drunk and dancing and, you know, lovemaking. He had all these thousands of followers then. So when did that become not something you could talk about as a Muslim?
He really is the one in the history of religions that blurs the boundaries between Christian and Jew and Muslim. The Sufis have a kind of a joke. They say that theology is like a group of fish have schooled together and divided up into study groups to determine if there is an ocean. And they're swimming in it, you know. We're all swimming in this ocean of ecstatic love.
Franklin Lewis, a biographer of Rumi, is a little nervous about how he's been picked up by, as he says, New Age bookstores and other Westerners, and sort of divorced from what he really was, which was a card-carrying member of a culture that unquestioningly accepted Muhammad as the seal of the prophets and the Quran as God's last words, that somehow there's a tension missing if you divorce him from that.
Well, I think Franklin needs to loosen up a little bit. This exclusivity bit that this is the last prophet and that the Jews are the chosen people and that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, that exclusivity in each of those religions is dangerous to the health of the planet. I'm more in favor of the health of the planet than I am in placing Rumi back in the 13th century.
Would Rumi survive in some of today's Muslim countries?
Well, evidently the Taliban have to acknowledge him just because he's so authoritative in the depth of his love and his gentleness, even though they don't like some of the things he says.
Well, Coleman Barks, how about you? You have become this presenter of Rumi to Westerners. You've studied him for 3 decades, and you study him as a poet. You're a poet yourself. Do you now have a spiritual practice because of Rumi?
The poetry is my practice. That's the one I'm faithful to.
You've said everything is church.
Don't you think that's what my granddaughter says? She says she doesn't need to go into the church. She's just always in the place from where you see the beauty. That's church, isn't it?
Leave us with some more lines from Rumi, Coleman Barks.
The way of love is not a subtle argument. The door there is devastation. Birds make great sky circles of their freedom. How do they learn that? They fall, and falling, they're given wings. Let me do another one. From now on, the nightingales will sing of us, sitting here outdoors, where wind lifts the hair of the willow and starts her dancing. God knows what they say to each other then. The wind and the willow. Yeah.
Coleman Barks, his new book is Rumi, the Big Red Book, the great masterpiece celebrating mystical love and friendship. Coleman, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much.
Oh, they don't.